Hi, everybody. I'm Lacey.
I'm Bailey.
And I'm Drew.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Hi, friends.
Hey, everyone. Hello. What's good?
How are we today?
Tired.
Yeah.
Lacey, you sent us the slides.
Yes.
I have a lot of thoughts of this person's name.
Oh, you're gonna love her husband's name.
Oh, is God. She not English?
She's American.
And where
I didn't know if you meant English as in speaking English or from England.
It seems like a very German name.
What descent is she from? Where does she hail from?
West Virginia.
Okay, where is her ancestors hail from?
Nobody knows. Her mom's name was Mary Jane.
Speaking of DUIs, was her mom drunk when she named her?
Maybe.
Okay.
The name Elva is German for elf.
Oh,
she doesn't look like an elf.
Zona is a girl's name of Latin origin, meaning belt or girdle.
Girdle.
So elf girdle. Got it.
Ooh.
Before we hop in, do we have any things to say?
I think so.
Okay. Patreon plug. Hey.
Hey, we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
I know somebody whose last name is Heaster.
Oh, cool.
Well, Heaster's not the weird part of this name.
I know. I'm just saying. I know somebody.
Okay.
And West Virginia isn't too far away.
It's not. Are we diving in? Are we ready?
No.
Okay,
I have two stories for you guys today. And they have
to buy one, get one free sale.
Buy one, get one free. They have something in common. Bro. I'm not going to tell you ahead of time what it is, but they have something in common. It'll be very clear when we get to the second one. Bailey?
Do they both have crazy ass names?
Maybe.
I fucking hate her. Do you do this to your students in class, too?
Yes, they hate
it. I hate you so much.
Do you... Yes. All I can think about is Mr. Schuster.
I know.
I don't like it.
I thought that, too, when I first saw the one name. So the first story I'm going to tell you guys about is called The Greenbrier Ghost. All right?
Okay.
So...
That's not what's on the slide.
Well, no.
Maybe she's the Greenbrier Ghost.
Maybe.
Is there a different slide I should be on?
Stop saying no, maybe.
I don't have a whole lot of pictures for this one because both the stories are from the 1800s, so it's just...
They didn't have cameras back then.
So, Elva Zona Heaster, who went by her middle name Zona, was born in 1873 in Greenbrier County, West Virginia. She grew up on a farm and had never been far from home. In October 1896, when she was 23, Zona met a blacksmith named Edward Shue. 35-year-old Edward was from Pocahontas County and had come to Greenbrier County to work at James Cruikshank's blacksmith shop. He was handsome and charming and had all these stories to tell. He had black hair and blue eyes, and before long, Zona was smitten.
Ooh.
However, she was the smitten kitten. However, when she introduced Edward to her mother, Mary Jane Heaster, Mary didn't like him.
Mm.
She wasn't sure why. Part of it was she didn't like how much older he was than Zona, but there was something else. There was something off about the man. Zona was 23 and he was 35. So it was 12 years. But for the time period, even, like, not that wild. I'm sorry. Zona wasn't already married, you know?
It's not like she's 12 and he's 50.
Yeah. She had no idea how right she was about Edward. So, first of all, Edward wasn't even his real name.
He was a ghost.
I should text you guys so you can see the spelling. His real name was Erasmus Stribling Trout Shoe. Erasmus?
Hold on.
Stribling.
Erasmus
Trout.
Stribling. Trout shoe. Like the fish. Shoe.
You said Erasmus?
Erasmus. E-R-A-S-M-U-S.
Something in my brain wants me to say Rasputin.
Now, to be fair, oh, there if this is my name, I might also go by Edward. There you go.
Stripling.
Stribling.
Stripling's a verb. It's not a name.
I don't think
trout
it's a word.
Fish.
I think it is a word.
Is it?
I think so.
I wrote it in there so that we could see. Now, that first word is not a thing.
No. I found out about this case when I was reading something on Reddit, and somebody mentioned it in a comment, and they listed this guy's whole name, and somebody else responded and said, did his parents just throw all the letters on the ground and give mm-hmm. him whatever order they landed it? And I think that's fair.
They're missing Z and Q.
There's no, a couple.
J.
So they throughout are- this. I'll sometimes call him Edward because that's what he was going by in Greenbrier County. And they didn't find out about like his real name and stuff until later. I just wanted to introduce it right away. I'll either call him Edward or Shu as I go through. Hmm. So, I mean, you know, that's weird that his name wasn't how he was going, but not too weird. He had previously served 2 years at the state penitentiary for stealing a horse.
Side note, Erasmus means beloved.
Oh, ew. In what language?
Greek.
Side note.
That felt rude of me.
He got more prison time than the mom in that story I was telling you about.
Yes.
Wait, he went to jail for 2 years for stealing horse?
2 years for stealing horse.
Well.
And the mom got 1 year.
That's like carjacking back then. So. Or Grand Theft Auto.
Ah.
Still doesn't correlate to what the mom did. But anyway.
Moving on. So 2 years for stealing the horse. But that's not all. Edward had been married twice before.
Divorce?
His first wife filed for divorce after Shu abandoned her and their baby. She claimed that he had a terrible temper and had been abusive toward her. Shu's second wife died less than a year after they'd married. She was helping Shu make repairs on their roof when he accidentally dropped a brick on her head.
Oh. Accidents happen.
They do, and it's not a funny accident. So.
Did you say it's not a funny accident?
Funny.
I have concerns for what's Zona? Is that her name?
Zona.
Yeah, I have concerns.
Yes. She would probably also have concerns if he was forthcoming with this information. Her mom had concerns without knowing the information, just a gut feeling that something was off, you know?
Lacey, it's his past trauma. Maybe he doesn't want to dive into it yet with his new relationship.
That's true. That's true.
We need to be supportive.
He set up boundaries, and those boundaries included only telling her what he wanted
He's starting a new life and a new chapter.
He doesn't need all that weighing him down.
No. Could you imagine?
So, Zona didn't know any of this about his background, but she did know.
She just ignored me and just kept going.
I know.
I said his past mistakes don't define him.
That's true. He could feel immense regret for accidentally killing his wife and have gone on to become a better person. Let's see.
Sorry, were they both on the roof?
It just said she was helping him. So I imagine he was on the roof and she was on the ground. Maybe he was handing stuff down to her. She was handing stuff up. He was certainly handing a brick down.
I just got an image. Imagine them both on the roof and he just chucks a brick at her.
And they say, oh, shit.
It actually fell on her.
I was picturing she was like on her hands and knees like hammering and he just stood up with the brick and just dropped it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So Zona didn't know about his background, but she did know her mom didn't like Edward, and she certainly would not have approved of them getting married. Bailey?
I'm sorry, I'm so stuck up on this. They're working on their roof, but yet they have bricks?
Yeah.
It was earlier.
Maybe they're patching. I don't know. I've never built a roof in any year, let alone the 1800s.
But, I mean, why would you want bricks on your roof? They're so
heavy.
Well,
maybe he was also doing some patching of stuff.
Maybe the brick was there to hold down the shingles so that they didn't blow away.
Like a big old paper weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it.
Lacey's been desperate to get through this paragraph.
She really is.
She's too bad. We always get to the end, and then I'm like, oh, you guys didn't talk much. And you say, it's because you went too fast. So this is fine.
Yeah. This is why I'm cutting you off. It's going to be a bad time for Drew. You're going to make popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Sorry.
Zona did what she had to do. Weeks after meeting Edward, Zona eloped with him. She wore a high collar.
90-day fiancé.
Yeah. Not even. A couple weeks. She wore a high-collared burgundy dress for their wedding. So her mom was not happy when Zona informed her, but it was over and done with. So she did her best to just kind of settle in and be supportive of her daughter.
Why'd she wear burgundy?
I don't know.
What year are we in?
1896. White dresses wasn't always the thing.
White dresses didn't become, like, the thing to wear for your wedding day until, like, one of the queens did it.
Yeah, and, like,
Queen Victoria.
I only know this because of Romeo and Juliet stuff for ninth grade, but in, like, Elizabethan times, it was just whatever colors were popular at the time is what you would wear. So,
oh.
Yeah.
So I could have worn whatever dress I wanted?
Whatever you wanted. Redo.
Time to plan another wedding.
Zona quickly fell pregnant. And while she and Edward were very excited about it, they decided not to tell anyone right away because she was having some complications. She became ill, and Dr. Knapp, their family doctor, began treating her for pregnancy-related illness. She seemed to get better. So only she, Edward, and Dr. Knapp knew about the baby. On January 23rd, 1897, so months after meeting and getting married, Shu stopped by the home of a friend, affectionately known as Aunt Martha, who lived near his blacksmith shop. He asked if Aunt Martha's son Andy could do some chores for Zona, who was better but still recovering from being sick. Andy was already busy doing some chores for someone else, and Shu returned to the house four more times to remind Andy that he needed to go help Zona with her chores. He seemed a little more aggravated each time he returned to the house. When Andy
He needs someone to discover the body.
When Andy finally arrived at the home, he found Zona's lifeless body on the floor. He ran home to his mother, who told him to go get Edward and tell Edward to go to his house while she got hold of Dr. Knapp. It took her a while to find the doctor. By the time the doctor reached the home, Edward had taken Zona's body upstairs, laid her on a bed, and changed her clothes. He had put her in that high-collared burgundy dress she had worn on their wedding day. Drew?
I think I know this story.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But how old was the person who discovered him?
Andy was, I think, 11.
So he, like, straight up set this 11-year-old up to be traumatized.
Yes.
Maybe.
And he kept getting angry. Like, nobody else would do. He needed the 11-year-old.
Well, because the 11-year-old would be innocent. I don't know. Also, besides it being super, like, sketchy as, like, fuck to change, a corpse's, like, clothes and stuff, that's your wife that's pregnant that you're excited about.
You know, he
it's
wanted
screaming
her
sketchy.
He wanted to remember her as she was on that wonderful day. He had also wrapped a veil around her neck and tied it in a large bow under her chin. He was sitting next to the bed, crying, leaning over her, playing with her hair. like stroking her hair, kind of. Dr. Knapp tried unsuccessfully to resuscitate Zona, but it was too late. When he was unable, he was about to begin examining her, but Edward stopped him. Dr. Knapp decided that Zona suffered heart failure as a result of a miscarriage. He listed her cause of death as childbirth. A few witnesses who arrived shortly after the doctor, because at this time people would just show up at your house if you had a body, noted that Zona's
head... No other reason, just if you have a body.
What's going on in here? I heard you got a body. They noted that Zona's head seemed very loose and would drop unnaturally from side to side when not supported.
That's because she's dead.
Edward buried Zona the next day. Witnesses at the wedding noted the wedding, the funeral, noted that Edward seemed absolutely distraught and was weeping and just disconsolate. Meanwhile, Mary Jane, Zona's mom, was glaring at him the whole time, would not take her eyes off Edward. So, weeks later, Mary Jane went to the local prosecutor, John Alfred Preston, with a wild story. She claimed that Zona's ghost had appeared next to her bed the previous few nights. Zona, who would come to be known as the Greenbrier Ghost, told Mary that she had been strangled to death by her husband. Did Preston believe Mary's account of her daughter's ghost appearing? Maybe, maybe not. Whether he did or not, he couldn't ignore the fact that members of his community were getting suspicious about Zona's death, and whatever Mary told him over the course of several hours was convincing enough to cause him to open an investigation. He asked Mary for a list of people who might have some information and then dispatched deputies to re-interview them. He took it upon himself to interview Dr. Knapp. When Preston learned that Shu had kept Dr. Knapp from a thorough examination of Zona's body, he ordered her body exhumed. The body was exhumed and examined on February 22nd, so a month after she died. The three-hour-long autopsy revealed that Zona's neck had been broken. The official report stated, quote, "The discovery was made that the neck was broken and the windpipe mashed. On the throat were the marks of fingers indicating that she had been choked. The neck was dislocated between the first and second vertebrae. The ligaments were torn and ruptured. The windpipe had been crushed at a point in front of the neck. She was arrested immediately." While in jail awaiting trial, Shu spoke about wanting to wed seven women. He told reporters that he was sure he would be let free because there was no evidence against him. While he was in jail awaiting trial is when the prosecutor and then more in the community started learning about his past. They found out about his actual name and about his previous wives and stuff.
I don't think there's a lot of evidence against him.
Doesn't seem to be.
It's all circumstantial.
It is all circumstantial.
She could have fallen.
There were finger marks on her neck.
It's probably another accident.
Lacey, she fell, and then, like, to support her neck, she, like, gripped it like a brace so it wouldn't get crushed. Duh.
She provided her own C-spine.
That her husband didn't notice that when he was wrapping a veil around her neck, but...
Have you ever heard stricken with grief?
I have. You're right. I'm being unfair.
Try being in his shoes, Lacey.
No.
He
just didn't want to make a big fuss.
Yeah.
They were from another time, Lacey. God.
Yeah. This is true. So the trial begins on June 22nd. This is the time when you actually, like, got a speedy trial. Mary Jane.
I feel like you can get a speedy trial now. It's just there's so many trials every day.
Yeah,
so
I feel like we call it speedy trial because like we ask people to waive it and stuff, but it's like not speedy by the definition of the word speedy.
Well, not when have like prosecutors like trying to like
just so many cases.
Yeah, like yeah. Well, and like
no
sandbag cases.
I think that it's every time that like the defense or the prosecution submit something, it gets delayed. Because you do have a right to a speedy trial, and I saw somewhere that like that means that after you're arrested, you have like 90 days to get in front of a judge or something. I don't know. Maybe it's the grand jury that you have to be in front of. I don't know.
So Mary Jane was a star witness in this trial, but the prosecution never asked her about the Greenbrier ghost. He did not want to focus on that and make it look like that was their only evidence. He focused instead on known facts. By this time, Shu's past had been uncovered, as well as Mary's relationship with her daughter and with Shu, things she had observed with Zona and Shu's relationship that she didn't like. He focused on things like Shu should have seen the bruises on Zona's neck, and he decided to cover them up. Stuff like that. Never mentioned the ghosts. However, the defense saw an opportunity to prove Mary unreliable. They said, "We have to ask this lady about this ghost that she said came to her and told her the story." So Shu's lawyer badgered her about her ghost story, but the story never changed. She stated, quote, this is just part of it. It was no dream. She came back and told me that he was mad that she didn't have no meat cooked for supper. The second night, she told me that her neck was squeezed off at the first joint, and it was just as she told me. The judge would not instruct the jury to ignore the testimony since the defense is who had brought it up. This was a West Virginia community in 1897. They believed Mary. They were very superstitious. The ghost was, again, never mentioned by the prosecution, huh?
Like, I you to reiterate what time and place we were.
Yeah, I can't believe he was like, nobody's gonna believe this ghost story. Like, did he not know where and when he was?
Well, he probably thought that she was just gonna like come off like crazy.
Yeah. So
I don't
the
know. Or
ghost was
that
never
her
mentioned by
story
the
wouldn't
prosecution.
be consistent.
What,
Yeah.
Drew?
Or that her story wouldn't be consistent and he could like
Yeah.
poke holes in it.
The evidence was entirely circumstantial. Nonetheless, on July 11th, it took the jury 1 hour to find Shu guilty of murder and sentence him to a life in prison. He died on March 13th, 1900, only 3 years later, from the flu epidemic.
Which flu?
COVID.
The one in 1900.
Is it either the Spanish flu or the influenza?
Could have been. I think Spanish. Well, I don't know. I was gonna say I think Spanish flu was later, but I don't know that. I was just gonna say that. So,
Let me Google Spanish flu. Oh, that was influenza was 1890 to 900. Look
okay.
at me.
There you
Spanish
go.
flu was 1918 to 1919.
There's a historical marker near the cemetery where Zona is buried. It reads, "Interred in nearby cemetery is Zona Heaster Shu. Her death in 1897 was presumed natural until her spirit appeared to her mother to describe how she was killed by her husband Edward. Autopsy on the exhumed body verified the apparition's account. Edward, found guilty of murder, was sentenced to state prison. Only known case in which testimony from a ghost helped convict a murderer." Now,
It wasn't like the ghost testified.
I know, but that
The
is
mother
like what
testified.
the whole thing is known for is the case got reopened because of the Greenbrier ghost. Now, did Zona actually appear to her mom and tell her that I was murdered, or did her mom see an opportunity? Did she see a way to reopen this case when she was convinced that Edward had killed her daughter? We don't
Yes.
know.
Didn't she say that Zona told her that she squeezed her neck.
Yes. Now, to be fair, I feel like anytime I'm researching older cases like this, I'm always a little bit like, I wonder how much of this has been fabricated over time. I read in three different places that she told the prosecutor Zona's ghost had told her that Edward had strangled her. But I don't, people could have added that along the way. I like to think that she did. Also, I want to just throw this out there. So her. Like the historical marker has her name on there, Zona Heaster Shu. If my husband ever murders me, don't let anybody put my married name on like my cemetery marker and stuff.
Only if you changed it legally.
Well, I did, but I'd like you to like scratch it off for me if I'm murdered by the
You're gonna
person who
have to
gave me
get
that name.
that in writing.
Well, I'll be haunting you.
Do you want to be buried?
Want to be cremated.
Oh,
But then I,
same.
probably buried after being cremated.
You
I have to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm just planning to shit on shit to sit on to sit on a mantle.
Yeah.
Lacey, like, I'm gonna pass down
generation to generation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Did you hear me?
What do you want to be?
No.
Lacey, I'm gonna throw you into the ocean.
Which ocean?
Your ashes. Shit, the whole urn.
Oh. It's gonna sink so quick.
Oh, I'm afraid of the bottom of the ocean.
It's like Ocean Gate again.
Oh no.
Lacey, I'm gonna put your ashes in a bottle and then put a little message in there. Make it fun.
Make it seem like she got like a Lord of the Flies situation and they burnt her body and that's them and calling for help me. Or something.
Oh no, I was gonna put like find my murderer.
Oh, that'd be fun too. You know what? We'll have multiple ashes. We could just send a shit ton out.
How did I write find my murderer before my murderer burned me?
No.
No, us writing it.
Yeah, we're just messing with whoever finds you.
What I'm saying is the person who finds me is supposed to assume that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, they're supposed to become so confused that they just don't think about that.
All right, well, I'm going to put it in writing that when I'm murdered by my husband, I'd like my last name reverted back.
Well, I was also thinking, so two different bottles. One says, find my murderer, and the other one says, avenge me. And in both cases, how did that work? That's a good point, Lacey. I like that.
Thank you.
I like the mystery behind it. People are going to be like, okay, first of all, this person was murdered and burnt up and then put in a and then they put themselves in a bottle with a note.
The murderer was kind enough to tuck the note in there.
Maybe it's like how the murderers went like on Criminal Minds, how they want to taunt the police. Maybe it's like that, or they want to be found.
I think it was Lacey's ghost.
What kind of bottle? Do you want like a plastic bottle, like a Dasani, or like?
No, I have something in bottle. I have an image in my head that is going to be.
What are we going with?
Plastic. There's enough plastic in the ocean without throwing me in plastic in the ocean. That feels disrespectful.
I'm gonna put you in a can.
Ooh, what kind of can? Like a can of soup? Okay. Tomato or chicken?
No respect for my remains.
Soup is amazing, so
can I tell you guys my other story?
I guess. Oh.
Oh, a fancy bottle. A message bottle.
Ooh. Ooh, I got it. So we'll get a bottle of wine. I'll drink the wine and then you can have the cork and the bottle.
Perfect.
You're gonna have so much fun after I'm gone.
Yeah.
We know.
Oh wait, go to this next slide. I forgot. This is a picture that he drew while he was in prison of himself and Zona.
What did he use to draw?
I don't know. Maybe charcoal?
Why is he square?
Because he's sitting in a chair. Yeah.
Look at his little feet. Look at his little foot up on his other foot. It's just so cute. A bunch of the article stuff that I read referred to him as Trout. Like, that's the name they chose out of his crazy names.
Because he's slimy like a fish. Weird.
So, that was a story with the Greenbrier ghost.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm going to tell you guys about the lost children of the Alleghenies.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
I know about this one, too.
Well, Lacey, I already have nightmares from a picture my coworker sent me of, what is it? Cricket spiders? Because if you don't know, look them up.
Look them up.
They're exactly as they sound. But someone found one in our hospital today. Uh-huh. And I said I can't come in because of emotional distress. And that we need to send an exorcist into the hospital to just sage it.
We used to get them in the basement at the old house. We called them cave crickets. If you don't put spider in the name, it's not nearly as creepy. They're just weird shaped crickets. Crickets are fun.
So, you know what?
This one,
you know,
I don't. This is not like a nightmare inducing story, though.
Yeah, this is more sad. It's just a sad story.
All right. Yeah.
So, our next story takes place outside Pavia, Pennsylvania, in 1856, in an area called Spruce Hollow. Pavia is about halfway between Shippensburg and Pittsburgh, along the Allegheny Mountain Range. We are going to talk about the Cox family and the lost children of the Alleghenies. Samuel and Susanna Cox had two sons, George and Joseph. At the time of our story, George was 7 and Joseph was 5. They lived in a cabin that Samuel had built. Their home was surrounded by dense forest because logging hadn't hit this area yet. On the morning of April 24th, Samuel Cox was eating breakfast when he heard his dog barking in the woods. Samuel assumed his dog had treed some animal, so he quickly finished breakfast, grabbed his rifle, and headed into the woods to do some hunting.
What year are we in?
1856.
1856.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Susanna puttered around the house doing some of her housework as the boys had gone hunting with their dad. When Samuel returned home and he asked about the boys, Susanna was confused. They had gone with Samuel. Samuel said, no, they didn't come with me. At this point, they realized that the boys were missing. They assumed the boys had attempted to follow their father without Samuel noticing. So Samuel and Susanna ran into the woods surrounding their property, calling for George and Joseph, but getting no response. Samuel went to their closest neighbors to ask for help, and word spread quickly. By nightfall, there were over 100 men in the woods looking for the children. They were lighting fires on the tallest peaks and walking with torches, hoping that the boys would see one and go to it. By the next day, nearly 1,000 people were looking. There was a stream nearby called Bob's Creek, and since it was hugely swollen from snowmelt, there was some fear that the boys had tried to cross it and drowned. They did search the creek, but they couldn't find their bodies. Speculation began to circulate about what could have happened to the boys, because it seemed that they should have been found by now with so many people looking. Some believe they had been kidnapped, either by a band of gypsies that had recently been to the area, or by monks at a nearby Catholic monastery. The Roman Catholics were regarded with suspicion in this area at this time. The most terrible theory came from a neighbor. Some accounts call this neighbor Charlie Ross, but other accounts say that this was inaccurate. So I'm putting it in there just to say that. The neighbor accused Samuel and Susanna of murdering their own sons in order to collect sympathy donations from their neighbors. He was so convinced that they had done it that he began pulling up floorboards in their cabin to look for bodies. And when he didn't find them there, he dug up Susanna's garden. When it became clear that there were no bodies on the property, the neighbor fled. However, some neighbors did believe his theory and were now suspicious of Samuel and Susanna. Bailey?
How does your neighbor just come in your house and start digging at your floorboards?
What year was it, Lacey?
1856. I feel like there were so many people on the property looking around and stuff. He just went in there and started tearing it up.
Okay.
Maybe Samuel and Susanna were like out in the woods at the time and he was like, this is my chance. The search became so desperate that a witch and a dowser were brought in. So a dowser is a person who uses dowsing rods, usually to find water in order to dig a well. The dowser found nothing. The witch claimed to know where the boys were, and she led men through the woods for hours without turning up anything. On May 2nd, a farmer named Jacob Dibert had a dream. He dreamed that he walked through the woods, passed by a dead deer, a child's shoe, and a beech tree that had fallen across a stream. In the dream, he eventually came to a group of birch trees and found the bodies of the missing boys at the base of one of the trees. This dream repeated itself for 2 more nights. Jacob lived about 12 miles away from Samuel and Susanna. So at this distance, he and his wife Sarah had heard about the lost children. They had talked about how terrible it was for the parents, but he himself had not been involved in the search at all. When he described his dream to Sarah, she recognized the area he was describing. She believed it was the wooded area near her childhood home, about 5 miles away. At first, he wasn't really sure what to do with this information, but on May 7th, he told his wife's brother, Harrison Wysong, about his dream. He told Harrison he believed it might have been real and said that he was going to search and he wanted some company. The next day, they set out. After walking through the woods a bit, the men passed a dead deer. A bit further on was the child's shoe, and after that, the fallen beech tree. Climbing down into a small ravine, they found the emaciated bodies of 7-year-old George and 5-year-old Joseph nestled together at the bottom of a birch tree. It was determined that the boys had died of hypothermia and starvation. It appeared that Joseph had succumbed first, and George had found a large, smooth rock and put his hat on it as a makeshift pillow for his little brother.
Oh!
Yeah. With over 1,000 men combing the woods for the boys for weeks at this point, how had they been missed? The area they were found had never even been searched because it was on the other side of Bob's Creek, which searchers deemed would have been impossible for the boys to cross without being swept away. So once they searched the area for bodies, for drowned bodies, they didn't even go on the other side to look. Jacob and Harrison were given $50 that had been raised by the community. They immediately gave the money to Samuel and Susanna to help bury their sons. The boys were small enough to be buried together in the same casket, and their parents had a white marble monument placed on their gravesite at Mount Union Cemetery. It reads, George S., born March 30th, 1849, and Joseph C., born October 29th, 1850, sons of Samuel and Susanna Cox, wandered from home April 24th, 1856, and were found dead in the woods May 8th of the same year, by Jacob Dibert and Harrison Weisong. Jacob died of dysentery 8 years later while fighting for the Union in the Civil War. In 1906, the community of Pavia started collecting donations for a monument. The monument was erected in 1910 in the spot where the boys were found. You can still visit it today in what's now been designated as Blue Knob State Park.
That was
sad.
What
do you think of that one?
I have two things.
Yes.
Because I am familiar with this case. First of all, do you know why their monument is in that little cage?
It was vandalism, right?
Yeah.
Is that
assholes
wild?
Assholes were vandalizing a monument for children's dead. Dead children.
Yeah. Where their little dead bodies have been found. People suck.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that, so the guy who found them, Jacob, he had the dreams. Apparently, years later, his son had a similar situation happen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Like his son had a dream about something?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting because I don't know how to feel about Jacob.
Why?
Because I'm a little bit suspicious. I think that it may have just gone down the way you said. And hearing that, like, his son also, like, had dreams about stuff later, I feel like weighs in on his side. But I also think that he could have killed those boys and then used a dream as a way to be the one who found their bodies, making sure that he went with a witness so that he wouldn't find the bodies alone. I have a hard time buying a dream led me to their bodies. But I know that there have been, like, other cases of stuff.
Ghost could visit mom.
I also had a hard time buying that. I think Mary Jane was very smart and found a way to get her daughter's death investigated.
As someone who has had dreams with, I believe, ghosts, I believe both of them.
Yeah. I wish I found that out about his son before. That would have been fun. I'll look it up later and then update you guys. I'll give you a 1900s update sometime.
It's not going anywhere, so go for it. What's up, Drew?
Can you see that?
No.
Oh.
Oh, didn't they, like, just cover it?
Sort of.
I was doing research and I found that out and I was like, son of a bitch, I'm already committed to this one.
The most recent episode was 591. This one is 571.
Okay.
June 6th.
So, that was the Greenbrier Ghost and the Lost Children of the Alleghenies.
So, the theme was, like, ghosts visiting people?
Apparitions.
Yeah, something like that.
They're... Oh. Hmm. I have another one you should do.
I was thinking about putting a third one in because I knew it was going to be short.
Drew, share yours.
Oh, I don't know that much about it. I just know that basically this I think like the woman ran was going to elope with her some guy, and their plan was to meet up at a barn and then they would run off together. And when they met up at the barn, he killed her and hid her body there. And then like 2 days later, the ghost visited her mom, and her mom was like, go to the barn. But it wasn't like their barn. It was just like a random barn in their town. So it was like really bizarre how mom knew.
Yeah, I found that one. I was looking for a third one to add, but I wanted to be the right length to fit in with this. And a bunch of the ones I found were just like short little blurbs. And then I found that one, which I thought was interesting, but it seemed like there was a lot more to cover than like these two stories. And I didn't think I could fit it in without making this a huge episode. So maybe I'll wait a while till we all forget that you mentioned it, and then I'll do it as an episode.
Because we will all forget.
Yes. Well, that was sinister.
We were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.